This is the Civic Roundup for August 1st, 2023, with Mark West reporting on the Buncombe County Commissioners meeting of July 18. The state has awarded a $1.8 million grant to facilitate the introduction of high-speed fiber internet in several rural communities within Buncombe County, communities that currently lack this service. By the end of December 2026, as reported in the meeting, the county plans to provide fiber internet to more than 500 households, according to County Manager Avril Pender's presentation during the Board of Commissioner meeting on July 8th. Skyrunner Internet, based in Asheville and the recipient of the grant, plans to expand its service into North and South Turkey Creek, Fairview Forest, Reams Creek, and Ox Creek neighborhoods. Additionally, the county has decided to contribute $500,000 from its federal American Rescue Plan Act's funds to support this project. Skyrunner will introduce a feature to this service expansion, a $30 monthly discount for eligible low-income households. They will implement this through the Federal Affordable Connectivity Program in accordance with the grant's terms. Commissioner Terry Wells praised the county staff for their work in ensuring consideration of Buncombe for the grant. The recent grant is a part of the $80 million in technology grants that Governor Roy Cooper announced on July 6th. It marks the third financial award that Buncombe has received since 2020. As Pender said, these funds will allow more than 2,000 households to gain access to broadband internet.
It is really to just share with you that we received notice on July 6th that there's another GRIT grant coming to Buncombe County to help us support broadband. As you know, one of our initiatives is to bring broadband throughout our community. This would be make the third funding from GRIT grant for our community. On July 6th, we heard $1.8 million going to Skyrunner, which will provide broadband in the areas of Northwest Buncombe County, North Turkey Creek, South Turkey Creek, Fairview Forest, Reams Creek, and Ox Creek. This will serve about 500 more unserved and underserved residents. So since 2020, we have received three GRIT grants impacting over 2,000 of our residents here in Buncombe County, of our households here in Buncombe County. And to date, we have used $500,000 in ARPA dollars to match the funding for the GRIT grant project. Still to come is CAB and other broadband projects, but right now we've had this much in the GRIT grants. And did you want to share anything, Commissioner Wells? I should say that you do serve on the statewide task force along with Tim on bringing broadband to all of North Carolina.
Thank you very much. I want to say a thank you clearly to Tim, even though he's not here, and to the great work the broadband working group has been doing with him. They've really laid the groundwork to ensure that we have high-quality projects and to make sure that we're communicating with providers and with the state about the pockets that are still missing in Buncombe County. So they've done a tremendous amount of work for us. And it's continuing to connect our community with this high-speed broadband is really going to bring lasting dividends for our families and for our businesses. And it's very exciting because some of these families I know have been waiting for years to have this technology. And so it's exciting to be able to announce this for them and what that's going to mean. And so this project, this most current one, it'll take from the time they sign the contract, they have 2 years, the provider does, Skyrunner in this case, to actually get that implemented. But from my understanding, I think they have the intent to get it done as quickly as possible. So hopefully it will not even take that amount of time. And I do also want to say we've really been leveraging a significant amount of funding, and I think that's worth noting. Over $5 million in funding we've brought in to do these projects. And because of the commission's support of this and the ARPA funding, we're well positioned going forward too, because with the CAB process, they even require a greater match. And so we're very fortunate that our county commission has supported this infrastructure so that we can continue to ensure that we get everyone in our community connected. And I think that was the main thing I wanted to say there. And I do think I'm hopeful that we may even hear about another great grant this year as well. They're looking to see if they have any funding left at the state level and that. So we may actually get one more great grant this year as well as start that CAB process. And the final thing I'll say is, with these numbers that County Manager shared, those 2,000 unserved households, it will actually even be greater than that, because the thing is, as these providers build out, obviously if there's people in those areas that want to go ahead and sign on, they can sign on as well in addition. So that way it's really a much larger impact than this even shows here. And that's very exciting for our community members as well. So it gives them options, which I hear from them that they're very pleased to know that they're going to have options with that. So we're excited for our community to keep doing this good work. And I thank all the commissioners for their support with this.
In other news, the commissioners decided to maintain the existing board's meeting schedule after evaluating the results of a community survey on preferred meeting times. The survey attracted 101 respondents, the majority of whom expressed a preference for moving one meeting per month to the morning. However, Commissioners Al Whiteside and Martin Moore felt the response volume did not warrant a change. Jellica Tyler, Communication and Public Engagement Staffer, spoke regarding the survey about the schedule change.
So our survey about the commissioners' meeting schedule change ran for about 3 weeks. We had 101 participants, 60 comments, and 434 site views. Here's a snapshot of our participant demographics. It's important to note here that our demographics modules are optional at the end of our surveys, and about 56 people opted to take the demographics module, so this does not represent every participant. Here's a map showing the participants by zip code, and you see those numbers in each zip code region. And we took this opportunity to ask a few extending questions other than just about the meeting schedule itself, to know a little bit more about how the public is engaging in our commissioners' meetings. So this first question asked if our participants had ever attended a meeting in person. 70% responded yes. Next question, have you ever watched Buncombe County Board of Commissioners meetings online? Over 80% of our participants in this survey engaged in some way with one of our online streaming for Board of Commissioners meetings, whether that be live or watching the recording after the fact. So, yeah, that's definitely giving us a greater reach. And our final question was about supporting the shift to a morning-night schedule, and 59% of participants agreed or would support the move to a morning and night schedule. We thought it was important to share the traffic streams and how we got this survey out to the public. There were multiple press releases, which resulted in a few articles in our local media. We had 5 sponsored social media posts and ran a county banner. It was also the featured survey on our public engagement site for all of those 3 weeks.
The commissioners gave unanimous approval to a request for the county to share the cost of engaging an independent auditor to ensure compliance with federal and state laws, regulatory bodies, court orders, and consent decrees for the Community Reparations Commission, which is jointly run by Buncombe County and Asheville City. The county's share of the auditor will cost $174,000, and the Asheville City Council will consider and approve the funding of their share for the audit at a later date. Dr. Nareel Armstrong spoke regarding the request.
Good afternoon, Chairman Newman and the commissioners. I am Dr. Nareel Armstrong, the Chief Equity and Human Rights Officer, and I'm here to request approval for an interlocal agreement with the City of Asheville. For contextual background, through the addition or the action, sorry, of the board in February of this year, authorization was given to the county staff to work in collaboration with the City of Asheville, as well as appointed members from the Community Reparations Commission, to develop a request for proposal to select a firm to complete a comprehensive audit of the city and county to ensure the cessation of harm on Black people in Buncombe County and the City of Asheville. Over the last few months, that work has been completed and contract negotiations are underway. Both the county and city has appropriated funds specifically to fund the recommendations that come from the County or Community Reparations Commission and is approved by our governing bodies. To that end, we have agreed to cost share the cost of this audit, which is estimated to be $175,000. At this time, we are requesting an interlocal agreement with the City of Asheville to fund this work. Previously, we shared that there were 4 Community Reparations Commission members who participated fully in the selection for the panel of solicitation. The CRC has been notified that the selection recommendation has been and that they will be provided updates as the engagement begins and is underway. We anticipate the preliminary findings to be disseminated and presented to the Commission at the end of December, with the final report being completed by the end of April 2024. This aligns with the Commission's terms. And so we are asking for you to approve the interlocal agreement between Buncombe County and the City of Asheville.
Asheville City has pledged $2.1 million for reparations in the 2022 fiscal year and an additional $500,000 in the 2023 fiscal year. Meanwhile, Buncombe County Commissioners have set aside $2 million for reparations in the 2023 fiscal year and have resolved to include an additional $500,000 in future reparations budgets, increasing annually by 2%. Also, commissioners unanimously approved a budget amendment to upgrade bleachers and lighting at Asheville High School. Ronnie Lunsford suggested a reallocation of $410,000 from the auditorium's HVAC system to replace the gym's floor, which is currently being held down by nails after the county determined that the HVAC system could be repaired instead of replaced.
Hey, good evening, commissioners. Like Heather said, we were at early stages of both of these projects, both on the campus of Asheville High School. So back in the fall, we asked for several projects at Asheville High and Asheville City Schools from School Capital Fund Commission. The first I'd like to just give a little bit of background information on is the high school auditorium renovations. So that project was originally budgeted as full-scale renovation from just underneath the roof all the way to the floor. It included HVAC systems, acoustical ceilings, new seating, flooring, stage lighting, lighting controls, everything in that auditorium. As we moved through design and pre-construction, we determined pretty quickly that a lot of the damage to the ceiling that was caused from the HVAC system was not as a result of the HVAC system being defunct, but really condensate drains that couldn't be ran properly when it was installed due to the ceiling being in place. Since that ceiling would be coming out, we could make those changes to those condensate drains and install drain pans underneath to catch any overflows that happened due to stoppages. So we didn't really need to change that system completely. The initial budget that was requested from School Capital Fund Commission was a little over $5.3 million to renovate that space. After we paid for pre-construction services, the school system actually handled the design of that internally. So we were left with a little over $5.2 million. Our schematic design estimate that we got just after the SD package was put together was $4.6 million, creating a budget surplus of $682,000, which again is really due to not having to replace that HVAC equipment. Inside that schematic design estimate, there's a contingency money to handle anything else that changes between now and construction on that, as we still have a little ways to go just to iron out the details for those construction documents. We are planning to begin construction in January of next year. Then another project that was asked of the School Capital Fund Commission was some varsity gym renovations. And when we, again, the school is handling the design for this project. Originally, the flooring was part of that design. It came to me just a couple of weeks before our ask of the School Capital Fund Commission back in the fall, And upon visiting the site, at first glance, the floor does not look like it needs to be replaced in that facility. So I couldn't, with good conscience for myself, go into School Capital Fund Commission and ask for $500,000 to change a floor that I wasn't sure needed to happen. As we moved through the remainder of design and pre-construction services, it became obvious when I talked to the folks who are in that facility day in and day out in the athletic department that it did need to be changed. It's hard to tell in these photos. It's really hard to capture a good picture with an iPhone of what's happening there, but all of those little black dots you see on those two photos there are nails that have been driven through the floor in the face to try to hold it down to keep it from squeaking, moving, creating dead spots when a basketball or volleyball bounces, and folks who are there every day can point those spaces out pretty quickly. There's also a section, again, very hard to tell. You see a little bit of a darker line down the center of that. There's a section of floor that was removed so that we could tell what the system underneath that hardwood looked like and really tell any damage from past water or just improper installation to start with. And that, I call it a subfloor system, is really in need of repair to create a solid surface. So since schools had handled the design and it was in the design anyway, we bid the project with the flooring replacement so we'd have a dollar figure that was solid. And we took it to the School Capital Fund Commission on the 10th. But our initial budget for that was $549,000. We had $522,380 after design and pre-con. And then it gets tricky. We've got really small windows of time to do work in that gym, being the only varsity gym that Asheville City Schools has. So we had to make a decision to proceed with work this fall that we could get done in case the funds weren't granted from School Capital Fund Commission. And then any work that is funded through this transfer would happen in the spring of next year. So if we leave out the bleachers and do the flooring first, because I can get the flooring this fall, I'm under budget $521,000. To add the bleachers in the spring takes us to 919, which left us with a deficit of $397,000. Planning on construction, that says August or July, that's been moved to August, just pending these changes. So our ultimate request from the School Capital Fund Commission was $410,000, which is obviously a little bit more than that $397,000, but that $410,000 just gave us a little bit of a cushion in case any unforeseens pop up when we remove the bleachers, flooring, the whole nine yards out of that gym. So that, again, we went to School Capital Fund Commission on July 10th, presented this same request, and it was approved there. So if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
This has been the Civic Roundup. Our theme music is by SP.